1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. We'll introduce this chapter today. You need to pay important attention. You always should pay attention. So I added the word important. Sometimes when you read an introduction to something, you kind of say, well, the introduction's there, and then now I'll get into the meat. We're going to study today the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's extremely important that you understand those verses. And I hope and have already prayed that will be the case in today's study. So let me just start out by just reading just those verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Let's pray. Our God and Father, we do realize that every word is important in your scriptures, and Father, I pray that I can do proper justice to these three verses to help the saints to realize how important this introduction to spiritual gifts is to the study of the next three chapters of this book. So we pray that that we'll be attentive and that we'll get the point, and then it'll be something that will affect all the rest of our life. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, just to kind of reorient ourselves, I do this every time we come to a new section of the book of Corinthians, is remind you that God had made the study of Corinthians, as Paul's writing this, his mind shift, and then because of he's writing it, his shift in subject matter of the things he's covering in 1 Corinthians, he's made it easy to identify. If you just kind of walk with me, go all the way back to chapter 1, and we've said this several times, and probably say it a few more times as my notes have it in chapters beyond where we are. But in chapter 1, after he does the introduction, he says in verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you." I'll just stop there because the word "now," he starts talking and he says "now," and he goes into a subject. And he'll continue that several different ways. If you'll go over chapter 7, he says, chapter 7, verse 1, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me," and he starts dealing with some questions that they had asked Paul, questions that he asked Paul, and he deals with those. Then, even in the same chapter, it looks like in verse 25 of chapter 7, he says, "Now concerning virgins," as if there was some particular, he zeroed in on that subject matter. You get to chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "Now as touching the things offered unto idols," and now he starts dealing with the situation where they wanted to participate in some idolatrous stuff and the reasons Paul gives them for not doing that. You get to chapter 11, where we had just finished studying, and the chapter begins in verse 2, where it says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things," and then he starts dealing with the order of authority that God has established in society. And then he goes into chapter 11, verse 17, says, "Now this that I declare unto you, I praise you not," and he gets into the problem of how they were conducting themselves in a meal and in remembrance of the Lord. So now we come to chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." He's shifted, it's a new topic. And we'll start there in a moment, but just to show you how that continues. If you come over to chapter 15, he says in verse 12, he starts talking about the resurrection, and then verse 12 tells you why he's been doing that. Verse 12 says, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there's a problem there with the Corinthians in talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ or the resurrection of the dead. And then chapter 16, verse 1 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," and he deals with that. And then even in that same chapter, in verse 10, chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear," and then he deals with Timothy coming as he's bringing the book to a conclusion. So those words "now" kind of separate Paul shifting the topic matter. And so when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we realize that we're going to start studying spiritual gifts. Actually, the way when he starts that subject matter, chapters 12, he'll start the subject of spiritual gifts, but he's going to talk about it in chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, and then in chapter 15, he'll start talking about the resurrection. In chapter 12, you can see just from the very first verse, now concerning spiritual gifts. So he's going to introduce spiritual gifts, and that's what chapter 12 is about. When you get over to chapter 13, most people understand that they call it the love chapter of the Bible. The King James language uses the word charity. And so in chapter 13, coming out of the end of chapter 12, where he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way, and then chapter 13 starts talking about charity. Chapter 13, the subject matter would be charity, the more excellent way. And then when you get over to chapter 14, the very first verse, it ends with, but rather prophesy. And that's the subject matter of chapter 14. So that kind of gives you an idea of what we're going to be covering in the next several months there as we go through these three chapters and break them down. Now in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, look at verse 2. It says, Now ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols even as you were led. In these first three verses that we're going to study, the subject matter centers around them being carried away even as they were led. And that's the important thing. The reason I say it's important because you're going to see how is it that they were carried away, led away. And it's a warning that not only would affect the Corinthians, that it would affect you. But that's the first, that's a subject, breaking down the chapter, that's the first thing he covers. Then in verses 4 through 11, he'll talk about gifts and their purpose. In verses 12 through 26, he'll talk about gifts and the body of Christ. And then in verses 27 through 31, God's placement in the church. So that'll take us through chapter 12. And like today, we're just going to be looking at those first three verses. Now, and as a way, even as introducing this, one of the things to keep in mind is that the Corinthians were ignorant. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So they're ignorant about some things, and because of their ignorance doctrinally, it resulted in them being messed up in a practical way. And that's a pattern. All the way through Corinthians, it's a pattern of truth that practice always follows the doctrine. And if you're messed up in the doctrine, you're going to be messed up in the practice. And so we could see that if we would do a review of what we've already studied. The first four chapters of Corinthians, the Corinthians didn't recognize exactly who the Apostle Paul was. And as a result, there's divisions among them. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, and so forth. Then when you get over into chapter 6, 7, and 8, we learned in chapter 3 that they're carnal. They're not spiritual. And as a result of being carnal, there's fornication among them. And so he deals with that subject because of they're carnal. They don't got the doctrine down. And so they're not living right. They're living carnally. There's fornication among them. And then when you get to chapters 8, 9, and 10, it deals with the subject. Well, first of all, they didn't know how to use their liberty in grace. And as a result of that, they weren't separating from idolatry, and even that resulted in some younger brother being destroyed by their actions. And so Paul dealt with that in chapters 8, 9, and 10. And so now we come to the subject of spiritual gifts here in chapter 11. We dealt with the fact that messing up God's order of authority had them practicing things in society wrong, and then because they didn't discern the Lord's body, it had an effect upon the saints there. Now, chapter 12, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you be ignorant. They're ignorant of spiritual gifts, and as a result, the practice is all wrong. When you read about what the Corinthians were doing with spiritual gifts, you're reading everything that was incorrect about it. They were ignorant of it, and because they were ignorant of it, they were practicing it wrong. And so there's all through here, if I can just kind of jump you through these chapters. If you look down to verse 17, chapter 12 and verse 17, says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smell? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. So you get to realizing they were all thinking they were all the same thing in the body of Christ. And Paul's correcting that. Now just keep that in mind. Come over to verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Hopefully you read that and you realize, no. But the reason Paul's saying that is because they were all trying to do everything. Everyone there was trying to do everything, like all the spiritual gifts, that everyone could do every one of the spiritual gifts. And Paul's correcting them that that was wrong. They're ignorant of spiritual gifts, and so they're practicing them wrong. When you get over to chapter 13, just if you look at the end of chapter 13, verse 1, the end of chapter verse 2, and the end of verse 3, you find out that in their practice, the more excellent way would have been love, but they're nothing but a tingling cymbal and a sounding brass, that charity, and if they did all these things and have not charity, they're nothing, and then it doesn't profit them anything in verse 3. So you see, they're not practicing these gifts out of love, and that's what Paul's admonishing them in chapter 4. Everything was a me, me, me situation. When you get over to chapter 14, and if you jump all the way down to verse 23, it says, if therefore the whole church come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbeliever or unbelievers, will they not say you are mad? Apparently they're in everybody's speaking in tongues. And Paul's rebuking them for this. If you get down to verse 26, it says, How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done decently, be done unto edifying. Everybody wanted to speak. Everybody had something to say. Something wrong with that. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a teacher. But not in this case. Everybody wanted to stand up and say something. They were practicing things wrong here, weren't they? And you can see that as you go through this. Verse 33. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. There was nothing but confusion going on at the church of Corinth because they weren't practicing spiritual gifts for the reason that God gave them. And it was all self-centered and all everybody trying to do everything. In fact, verse 34 says, let the women keep silent in the churches. So they were trying to be teachers and preachers and apostles in the church too. And they weren't even supposed to speak in the church as far as the edifying process. That's the men's responsibility in the church. So you see, they're involved in it, and Paul rebukes them for that. And then in verse 40 it ends, let all things be done decently and in order. You realize in their churches nothing was decent and in order. It was all a bunch of confusion and chaos and everybody speaking, and it's total misuse. And so Paul starts the chapter, I would not have you ignorant. And the point being then that doctrine determines practice. It always does. What you believe will affect how you behave. Look at chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What you learn is going to affect how you act. Evil communication is going to corrupt your practice. So the doctrine always comes first, and people don't like that, do they? They don't want to study the Bible and learn something. They just want to go out and practice something. And it doesn't come that way. That's not how God works. God gives us doctrine, and then we live out of the doctrine. Even some people want to exercise faith without studying the Bible. Faith in your Bible is believing what God said, but some people just have faith in faith. Whatever they say, God's going to do it because they have faith. So they're putting faith even before truth. And the truth has to be God's word. Now, this has been in the bulletin before, and I heard someone preaching say this, and I rewrote it out of memory. But I think it's pretty correct to how the person said it. And I can remember it quite well because it really made a point. And that is, it's an illustration of how doctrine, truth, God's word, has to come first, and then comes the practice. So it's about three men that took a walk. Their names were Fact, Faith, and Feelings. Fact led the way, Faith followed Fact, and Feelings followed Faith, who followed Facts. So you get that? After a while, Faith got upset that fact led the way all the time. So in protest, faith led. Faith chose the way they should go, and feelings followed faith, and fact followed feelings. Soon they were totally lost. Then feelings got his feelings hurt, because he always followed and never got the lead. So they let feelings lead, and faith followed feelings, and fact followed faith. And it was not long before everyone knew they were miserably and hopelessly lost. And they stayed that way until they let fact lead, and faith followed fact, and feelings followed faith. And that's exactly how it is in the Bible. You don't let feelings lead the way. You don't let your faith lead the way. You let fact, God's word, lead the way. And you put your faith in what God said, and then the feelings follow the faith. And that's the order of Scripture. And you can see the Corinthians, they were pretty messed up. And that's why Paul, in verse 1 of chapter 12, starts out by saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And there's a lot of ignorance in the church today about spiritual gifts. And most people are practicing them like Corinthians were. And Paul's trying to correct that, and people are ignorant of spiritual gifts. So the warning as we're starting here is for you not to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Now, we're going to learn about it for several weeks, but that starts out the chapter. Then that verse 2, that's really the emphasis of today's message. They were carried away even as they were led. And that's important to find out. Not only were they ignorant, they're carried away and they were led away. So we're going to emphasize that in just a few moments. But verse 3 is also important. Verse 3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now remember, we're talking about spiritual gifts here, and what verse 3 is telling them, it's giving them discerning ears to find out if a man is talking by the Spirit of God or not. If a man is talking by the Spirit of God, he's not going to call Jesus accursed. But with that, what we're talking about is, remember like in the book of Romans where it says, I can't believe it. Things are getting tough these days. "That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The point is some people are not going to acknowledge who Jesus Christ, that he's Lord. And some are going to not acknowledge that he rose from the dead. So if they're hearing a man speak and he calls Jesus a curse, well, you would call Jesus a curse if you think he's something less than Lord. If you don't realize who Jesus Christ is, that he is God in the flesh, then you're calling him a curse because he's something other. If he's not that, then he's not the Savior of sinners. So then his death on the cross, he's accursed. If he didn't rise from the dead, he's accursed. So Paul's saying, now listen, have a discerning ear. Anybody who says they're speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, he's a liar. He's not speaking by the Spirit of God. But anyone who says that Jesus is Lord, that person is speaking by the Spirit of God. Now when he says, if that last part of that, that no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of God, You realize here, you're not just saying a person gets up and a person cannot say, like a lost man can't say, Jesus is Lord. You could walk up to a lost man and say Jesus is Lord, he could say it. But you don't have the Spirit of God. We're talking about a man preaching here. And what is he communicating about Jesus Christ? Is he Lord? So you're getting a discerning ear that is he speaking what the Bible says he is? That's the discernment that's going on here. I always think you could train a parrot, because they can say a lot of words. You could train a parrot to say Jesus is Lord. But that's not what Paul's talking about in the verse. Parrot's not doing it by the Spirit of God. What we're talking about is man speaking, and what he's saying is the things that are true in Scripture about who Jesus Christ actually is. So it's trying to give them a discerning ear that everybody who speaks isn't talking by the Spirit of God. You better discern who is speaking by the Spirit of God and who is not. In fact, hold your place here. Come to 1 John chapter 4. I can't hardly read this verse without telling a testimony about Mike Berry, but I'm going to skip it. No, I can't now, can I? What am I going to do? we were at one of those hyper-Pentecostal apostolic meetings, faith healing going on, and Mike decided he's going to try the spirits to find out if they're of God. He's going to go down and let the guy slay him in the spirit. Well, when he got up to go, they said, go back to your seat, it's full. They wouldn't let him go up there. They knew what he was doing. They only have certain people they're allowing to go up there. But anyhow, it says in verse 4, 1 John, it said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. Do you ever have a spirit talk to you? But notice those are small S's. Believe not every spirit. You know how you hear a spirit? A man speaks by a spirit. Is it his spirit or is it the spirit of God? That's the question. The spirit, that's a reference to what is being spoke. And that's why you're talking about hearing. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. So you're listening to a man speak who says he's a prophet, but you're going to try the spirit. Is he speaking by the spirit of God or is he speaking by the spirit of man? And there's false men out there preaching. That's what the whole point is. Hereby know we the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses, that means agree, say the right thing, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Then there's people that teach, by the way, that Jesus was a man and the Christ spirit came down upon him, but Christ is not a man. Jesus was a man. Christ is the spirit that came down upon this man Jesus and left this man Jesus when he died on the cross. There's teachings like that. So John is warning people, no, Jesus is Jehovah, who's the Christ who came in the flesh. So if he speaks that way, he's of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereby you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And so John's preparing them for false teachers at the last time that are going to deny the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And so you see how trying the spirits is not going and physically testing something out and see if you get the feeling or see if you get the emotion. Trying the spirit is listening to see if he's saying what God said about who Jesus Christ is. Person speaking is not going to contradict God's word. Come back to Deuteronomy chapter 13. As early as the days of Moses, Moses gave Israel the law, and then there were going to be prophets that would rise up, but even before those prophets rise up, Moses records in the law how you're to listen to a man speak in Israel's program. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass. Now, just a little bit of information ahead of time. You see what signs and wonders are associated with? Someone speaking as a prophet. Because the purpose of signs and wonders is to confirm whether that person is speaking by God or not. But now here's someone who comes along and he has a dream. So he's telling them that, like, I got a revelation from God, and he does a sign and wonder and it comes to pass. Even the sign and wonder works. Wherefore, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, nor that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, yet ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he hath spoken unto you to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and so forth. Now here, Moses is preparing them. A man's going to stand up and say, I had a dream, I got a revelation from God, I'm a prophet. And he's going to say, let's go serve other gods. And he does a sign and wonder, and it comes to pass. Do you follow him or not? No, he denied God's word. God already said through Moses that you serve God and him only will you serve. And so he's contradicting God's word, and you know that's a false prophet. And Israel, under the law, they're to stone him. So you realize that a prophet speaking and saying that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're listening to him teach what the Bible says is true, and you know he's of God. If he denies what the Bible says, then he's teaching false. And so the Corinthians were given this information to prepare them to not follow false teachers, because apparently they were led astray, carried away and led astray. And Paul is telling them first how to discern that, but he warns them about that being carried away. It says over in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, it says, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So a prophet has to agree with what God said, otherwise you realize he's not of God, even if he could do miracles in your sight. Because miracles was to prove it, but he's not going to contradict what God has already said. God doesn't contradict himself. He's not the author of confusion. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've learned some things already that are foundational to everything we're going to study. Paul says, don't be ignorant, and he says those in those three verses there. One of the things you should realize is when you're not to be ignorant, you're already informed what spiritual gifts are all about. When you get to verse 3 and it's telling you how to identify who's speaking by God or not, spiritual gifts are associated with the revelation of God's word. That's going to be true all the way through these chapters. Spiritual gifts, we're not just going around trying to get everybody healthy and wealthy and well. Spiritual gifts have to do with someone speaking God's word. So that sets up a foundation of everything we're going to study in these chapters. Also, spiritual gifts were given at a time where God was speaking prophetically because they didn't have a complete revelation of God's word. By the time we're done with chapter 12, 13, and 14, you're going to realize that these spiritual gifts end when we have a complete revelation of God, what's called Scripture. Scripture is God's written word. Today, you realize that verse 3, we don't have to practice that at all. Because we don't just listen to what a man says. Now, we do that. But we do more than that. We have completed Scripture that we can go and see, is he saying what God said or not? They didn't have that ability to do that. But there, so spiritual gifts have to do with God-given revelation, and here's how they're checking it out in their day, but we have the complete revelation of God today. We can check out what a person is saying with the Word of God and know whether he's speaking the truth of God or not. And you know what we have? Verse 2 says, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you're led. Wherefore, I give you to understand. You know what we need? Paul's epistles. What he gave them to understand that's going to clarify the whole thing, we have it written down in Scripture. Scripture is the authority for us. And no man today is speaking by the Spirit of God, but that's kind of getting ahead of the studies in the chapter. I want to go back to verse 2 now and ask this question. And it's interesting, Paul says it this way. They're ignorant of spiritual gifts. So verse 2 says, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now he's identifying that he's writing, Corinthians is written to Gentiles. Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles. But Gentiles, long ago, Genesis chapter 10 and 11, turned to idolatry, worshipped idols. And Paul says that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. Carried away into worshipping an idol. But what kind of idol is that? It's a dumb idol. Now, not dumb and stupid. Dumb meaning can't talk. So how did you get convinced to bow down to an idol a piece of wood or a piece of gold or a stone that can't talk and say, I'm God. How is it that they were carried away? Well, the rest of that verse, even as you were led. Someone led them to believe that these dumb idols are actually God. And since it can't walk, you have to carry it around, and it can't talk, I'll speak for them. And so there's just a bunch of lies. They've been led astray, carried away by a bunch of lies of people that were speaking for a dumb idol when a dumb idol couldn't speak for itself. And so that's the warning there in that verse of Scripture, in the whole beginning of this study, about watch out that you're not carried away even as you were led. We didn't go back to Genesis, but go back to Romans chapter 1. Because Paul explains how the Gentiles were carried away unto dumb idols. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, because that when ye knew God. Now Paul's writing, book of Romans is written to Gentiles. And Paul's talking about a time when Gentiles knew God. We knew who God was. Because that when ye knew God, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. There's a dumb idol. Made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They turned the truth of God into a lie, but before that, they became vain in their imagination. Where did their truth come from? Came out of their own head. And then they professed themselves to be wise. And so some men look really wise in what they say because they got a great imagination, can explain that these idols are God, and these Gentiles were carried away unto these dumb idols as these professing wise men led them that way. That's how the Gentiles got in the condition they were in, worshiping idols. Now, the same thing happened to the nation of Israel. Come back with me to Jeremiah chapter 10. In the book of Jeremiah, you're coming to the time in the prophets. Like Isaiah was before Jeremiah, and he is warning that God's going to take the nation got divided into 10 northern tribes, two southern tribes. 10 northern tribes went into idolatry. Isaiah saying, Assyria is going to wipe you out, and then Nebuchadnezzar is going to come later and wipe out the southern two tribes. By the time you come to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is saying that the northern tribes are already gone. The southern two tribes, there's a certain point Jeremiah says, no matter what you do, it's too late. God's going to judge you for your idolatry. And so Jeremiah prophesied at a time just before the southern two tribes go into captivity to Babylon. Then, even when they were carried away into Babylon, it's interesting, they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, but after the captivity took place, they said, okay, Jeremiah, we're sorry, we'll listen to you. What do we do now? He said, don't go to Egypt. You know what they said? Oh, forget you. We're going to Egypt. They wouldn't listen to Jeremiah for nothing. So Jeremiah is talking at a time where Israel's totally in apostasy. So in chapter 10, there's a couple verses that I just want to give you foundational truth about. In chapter 10 in verse 23, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Man can't, you can't find your own way. It's not in you to find your own way. You need God's word. And as a prophet, Jeremiah understands that men need to walk according to God's word. Come over to chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16. It says in verse 12. Now he talked about, well, verse 11 says, Then shall thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods and have served them and have worshipped them and have forsaken me and have not kept my law. So he's talking about the people prior to the people that Jeremiah is speaking to. Israel had turned to idolatry. But notice verse 12. You can do something worse than that. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. It's bad to go after idols, but it's even worse for you to live your life out of the imagination of your own mind and not listen to what God has to say. That's even worse. And that's the condition they're in when Jeremiah is talking to them about their situation. But you can see they're following after the Gentiles, being carried away, led astray unto these dumb idols. The reason you can't do that, chapter 17 and verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? People live after their imagination. They just make up their own belief and follow that, and they're going to let their heart guide them in life. Can you trust your heart? No. The only thing you can trust your heart is when you put God's word in your heart that you might not sin against him. But if it's the imagination in your heart, you're being deceived. So Jeremiah is warning them about all these things. So you come over to verse 23, chapter 23, I mean. Jeremiah chapter 23. In verse 16. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. So you got Jeremiah, the lone prophet, who's speaking God's word, saying Babylon's going to come and destroy you. You better just surrender to Babylon and you'll be safe. If you don't, you're going to get destroyed. And the remnant that's left, stay in the land. Don't go down to Egypt, whatever you do. Nope, they go down to Egypt and get destroyed down in Egypt. But Jeremiah is telling them the truth of God's word, but there's a whole bunch of other prophets there in the land not speaking God's word. And they're telling the people, oh no, you got peace. There's no harm going to come to you. And what do people want? They want to hear the good stuff, right? They don't care what God really said. They just want to believe what they want to believe rather than believe what God has said. Because what God has said, he's been saying it since the days of Jeremiah and before, Isaiah and before. But they're not listening to God's word. They're listening to these false prophets. Now, when I said 1 Corinthians 12 is extremely important, Paul's preparing people because you are easily carried away, led astray from the truth of God's word. When I say you, I'm talking about people in general. It's been estimated that 90% of the world's population are followers, which leaves 10% of the people to lead them any direction they want to go. And that's true of men behind pulpits today. That not everybody who stands behind a pulpit is preaching what God said. A lot of things are coming out of the imagination of their own mind, saying what people want to hear. And because 90% of the people are followers, they're going to be carried away unto these dumb idols even as they were led. That's not just true of the Gentiles of old and Israel of old, but it's true of people today. The reason I say it's so important, how do you get the 90% of the people to say, wait a minute, I'm going to study God's word. I'm not going to be a follower. I'm going to look at God's word and seeing if that's what God said, and I'll believe what God said. Even if there's only one person saying it and it's found in the Bible, I'll believe what God said and not what all the preachers and the majority of people are doing. And that's hard to do. But watch how important it is to do that. Let's go down a couple verses. Go down to verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Now that scares me to death. Did you hear what that verse said? God said, these false prophets are saying you're going to have peace, no evil. God said, I didn't talk to them. I didn't send them. But if they would have said my word, they would have turned the hearts of those people back to the Lord. He could have led the people in the right way. Why? Because people are followers. You can be led in the wrong way, and you can be led in the right way. But you know what? God doesn't let anybody off the hook. Because they followed the wrong ones, they're going to be destroyed. He's going to let Nebuchadnezzar come in and destroy them and kill them, kill their wise men, kill their children, take the best of them captive. God's going to let that happen to the 90%. But if the 10%, if the preachers would have preached what God said, the people would have followed in the right way and the evil wouldn't come upon them. You're not off the hook, are you? When the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't just come and listen to a preacher and say, oh, yeah, I learned something today. You better make sure that you got that Bible open, you're looking at the verses saying, yes, that's what the Bible says, and I'm going to believe what, not the preacher, but the preacher said it, and if it's according to God's word, then I'll believe it. And if it's not, you better not believe it. Because you could be that 90% that's being carried away into these dumb idols even as you were led. What everybody has to do, now let me finish this chapter while I'm here. If I got time, I can do it. Look at verse 29. It says, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongue to say, he saith, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit the people at all, saith the Lord. You can listen to a man say all kinds of wonderful things, but if it's not God's word, there's no profit in it. It's just words. So the warning is there. Now what I was about to say is what people have to do today is even what the Lord was teaching in his earthly ministry. Come to Matthew chapter 15. Now the first verse that we're going to read reiterates what we just learned in Jeremiah. The Lord is dealing with Pharisees, but when you get down to verse 14, Matthew 15, verse 14, he said, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Did you catch the word both? You got the Pharisees who are trying to lead Israel away from Jesus Christ, and he said, let them alone. And if the blind lead the blind, that means the blind are following this blind leader, both are going to suffer the consequence. They're going to fall into the ditch. So you realize people are followers. So go back to verse 1. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And we're not talking about they just had dirty hands. We're talking about they didn't go through a religious ceremony of washing their hands before they eat bread. And by doing that, notice they're breaking the tradition of the elders. They're not breaking God's word. This tradition of the elders, that meant everything to them, but God's word didn't mean anything to them. Verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother shall die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Now that's what they teach. Honor father and mother is taking care of them in their old age. But a person could say, I have a gift. I have a special calling of God. I'm free from taking care of you in your old age. And the tradition of the elder said, yeah, he's free. He don't have to do that. And by doing that, he's breaking the commandment of God that says, thou shalt honor thy father and mother. So the rest of that verse says, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, you know what I want you to get out of that? Sometimes we read that verse, I think of Catholicism and how they're led people astray. But if people are listening to a man teach, but he's not teaching God's word, they're actually just commandments of men, that is called vain worship. They can go to a giant church service, have all this chaos running around and all this tongue speaking and all this going on, and they think, oh, I was at a great worship service of God. And if everything happening there was contrary to God's word and was really the commandments of men and not the word of God, it was God, Jesus Christ, called it vain worship. You didn't worship God at all. You followed commandments, tradition of men, and you didn't follow the word of God. Isn't that dangerous? So that's an important, if I made my point, we started out 1 Corinthians 12 realizing we're going to study spiritual gifts, and what's been going on at Corinth is all wrong, and yet it's what most people are doing with spiritual gifts today. So therefore it's not of God, it's of man. And it's not worship. And what we got to be careful, and what every individual has to be careful about, is that they're not just following a man and a system and a movement, that they're following and believing God's word. Because only then, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for warnings of your Bible. Father, I didn't give the gospel today, so if someone's among us that doesn't know that salvation is a free gift, may they hear it even in this prayer, that your Son came into this world and took upon him our sins and paid for every last sin we've ever done, so that we might receive through him, by you, the gift of eternal life on the basis of faith alone. Father, I thank you that you did make some things simple in the Bible, and salvation is a free gift on the basis of believing what your Son accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, that foundation of truth not only saves our soul, but also becomes the very foundation of how we are to study the Bible, is to read what you are doing, what you have done, but what you are doing, and understand, even in this case of spiritual gifts, what the purpose of them are all about. Seem like they're all about prophetic things. And how important it is for us to study and to know what your word says, that we might believe the truth, that we might worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for these warnings today. And may it may be something that sticks with us, not just for today as a message we heard today, but the rest of our life. May we be students of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.